Hey, you guys, it's Tomes of Terror, and we're talking about another horror book, although this one's actually kind of more of a thriller. Now, this one came out in 2016, I believe, initially. This is Behind Closed Doors by B.A. Paris. Now, apparently, this was B.A. Paris's first novel. She's written three since then, subsequently. Which I haven't read. This was actually the first one of hers that I read. And I just saw a whole bunch of different recommendations for this one. Like a whole bunch of people picked it as, their favorite read of the year or whatever. So again, I felt like I should pick it up and see what all the fuss was about. Now, it seems though, it's very strange because it seemed like initially when I was first reading about this book or like watching other reviews of this book, it seemed like they were just overwhelmingly positive, but then the more I looked at it, there did seem to be some people that just really, really hated it, like just 1-2 stars and blah, blah, blah. I'm falling somewhere in the middle. I think on Goodreads, I gave it like 3.5, 4 stars, something like that. It's a really entertaining read. It's a really quick read, but it's not particularly deep. It's not particularly twisty. It's not particularly clever or anything like that. It's pretty standard, but I don't really mean that to sound derogatory because I actually did really enjoy it, and like I said, I read it really quickly because I was like interested to see what was going to happen next. But if you're expecting this really intricately plotted kind of thriller with all these kind of moving parts, this isn't really that. I mean, the story is pretty simple. It's a psychological, essentially a psychological horror story about a terrible marriage, a woman that marries a psychopath. So it has a little bit of a Lifetime movie vibe, but again, I don't really mean that to sound derogatory. This is just something that essentially like a summer beach read, I guess, but maybe a little bit more disturbing than your average summer beach read. I don't know. I don't go to the beach, so I don't really know what people read on the beach. I'm just saying. So now this one, I'm not really all that worried about spoiling this one. So, as I said, if you don't want to know anything about this, I will say that the description on the back of the book is pretty straightforward, and if you read the description, you can pretty much guess where it's going. So it's not like there's any surprises or anything. But I will say that if you don't want to know anything about the book, like I usually say, then probably read the book and then come back later. Because I think I probably will be spoiling this one. Like I said, it's not like the enjoyment of the book doesn't really come from, being surprised or there being big plot twists or anything like that. It's pretty much, the big reveal, of the dude being a psychopath happens really, really early. And then just from that point onward, you're just kind of like seeing how things unfold, towards a pretty much inevitable conclusion. So, as I said, I think spoilers are not really all that important for this. But if you don't really want to know anything about it, then turn it off and come back because I will be spoiling the end. So the story of this one, as I said, it's fairly straightforward. Now there's a woman named Grace, and I guess she kind of had a, she's in London, and I forgot to mention too that B.A. Paris is also, she's a British author, although she lived a lot of her time in France, and I believe she was a teacher and she was in finance, like prior to her becoming a novelist. So Grace, the main character, she was like a buyer for Harrods. She had, a really, she had a decent life. But one thing that's kind of, was kind of missing for her was that she didn't really have a relationship. She'd had boyfriends and stuff, but the main thing that seemed to be getting in the way was that she has a younger sister named Millie who has Down syndrome, and she adores Millie. And is essentially, I mean, Millie is at kind of a state school, but she's going to be 18 soon, so she'll need someone to go live with, like a relative to go live with, like once she reaches 18 years old. And since Grace and Millie's parents seem to be like, yeah, no thanks, we're out, we're going to New Zealand, you guys are on your own. So Grace very happily volunteers. She's like, yeah, of course, Millie can live with me when she, comes home from the school. And since Grace had, such a nice job and everything like that, she could afford to take care of her. And she is, in fact, paying for her school until she reaches the age of majority. So as I said, you know, boyfriends, you know, have been kind of coming and going because some people are like, oh, you know, you come as a package deal. Like you have a sister with Down syndrome who's always going to be with you. And a lot of dudes are like, yeah, no thanks. You know, so there's that whole thing. However, one day she and Millie are out in a park and there's a band playing and they're watching it. And Millie she gets up and starts dancing. And a lot of the people in the crowd are kind of like uncomfortable or they're kind of like, can you like stop her from doing that? It's like, it's really embarrassing or whatever. But then all of a sudden, this real suave, handsome motherfucker comes out of the crowd and goes to dance with Millie and dances with her for the whole song and everything. And this dude is a guy named Jack Angel. Now, Jack seems like the perfect man, which should cause red flags to be flying up all over the place. But hey, Grace hasn't had any in a long time, I guess. And her, so she's kind of like, sure. So sure, her guard is not up as well as it should be, maybe. So basically, Jack, who I don't know if they mean to imply that he looks like George Clooney, because there's a whole thing about Millie and George Clooney and all this other kind of stuff, which you'll see if you read the book. But I thought it was meant to imply that he kind of looked like him. But anyway, he's like super handsome. He's super rich. He's a lawyer, and he's made his whole career out of defending battered women, or like putting, you know, abusers, like spousal abusers, into prison. And he has never lost a case. So everybody just thinks he's an awesome fucking dude. He's kind of like, he's very gentlemanly. He's very attractive. He seems very compassionate. And, you know, and for a while, he seems to set his sights on Grace and be like, you're the woman for me and I want to marry you and all this other stuff. And obviously, you know, if you're reading this and you're a human, particularly if you are a human woman, you will know that every, like, pretty much all the shit the dude says in the beginning, it's like, yeah, that'd be nice, but it sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me. And indeed, it does turn out to be. So what ends up happening? Now, the way the book is written, it goes back and forth from the past to the present. So, you know, so one chapter, this is, you know, what's happening right now. And then here's a chapter. And so I think that, I can't remember, I think it's in maybe a year. So we're going back and forth, and then basically they just keep flipping back and forth between past and present until, like, past and present, you know, meet up in the middle, I guess, essentially. So that's kind of how it's structured, which I actually thought was a pretty good structure. Like, it kept it moving along pretty well. And then, like, because it was kind of interesting to see what was going on now, and you're just kind of like, okay, well, that doesn't really seem right or anything like that. But then, you know, the next chapter, she would go back to the past and she would talk about stuff that happened in the past, like, to provide context. So it kind of just goes back and forth like that. So at the very beginning of the book, because like I said, you don't find out all this stuff about the park and about him being like, oh, Millie's so awesome and you're so awesome for taking care of her. And of course she can live with us and, you know, our lives are going to be perfect and awesome and all this other kind of stuff. And Grace being like, yeah, sounds good. And they get married after only 6 months. Again, big, huge red flags, just big fucking red flags all over the place. It's just like fucking, it's like a fucking bullfight up in here and all the red flags fly around. But yeah, so she doesn't see it at first. It's, you know, okay. So at the very beginning, I like that B.A. Paris opened the book like this. It opens in the present, and it's a dinner party that Jack and Grace are giving in their, of course, beautiful, perfect house. And Grace, who, as I said, was kind of a high-powered, she was a buyer for Harrod's department store, which, if you don't know, is like a really, really prestigious, like really, like a really well-regarded big, you know, department store in London. But she has left her job to be a full-time homemaker, essentially. So she does gardening, she does cooking and everything. And also, she looks super perfect all the time. It's like she never has a hair out of place. Everything she wears is just like immaculate. She always looks good. So at the beginning, you're kind of put into this world. It's this gorgeous house. It's this dinner party. Some of their friends. It's like some couples and stuff. And you're kind of getting an insight into Grace's mindset while she's doing this. But you know something's off, but you don't know exactly what yet. I mean, you do because, I mean, like I said, there are really no surprises in this story. It's like, obviously, I was reading it in like two or three pages in. I'm like, oh, well, obviously, like, Jack is a psychopath and he's like making her act like that and he has like total control over her. So it's not like it's any big revelation or anything. But it's interesting, like, all the little details that they drop and all the little kind of, you know, ways that she's really, really worried about, you know, did everything she cooked turn out perfectly? It's like, is she allowed to eat this? It's like, if somebody else eats part of her dessert, she's going to get in trouble, and like all this other kind of stuff. So there's all these like little subtleties and like between the conversations that they're having with one another. So it turns out that at this dinner party, I guess, so this has been going on for a while, this whole fucked up scenario, which I'll get more into in a little bit. But the new component of this whole shit is that a new girl, a new woman rather, has moved into town, whose name is Esther, I think. And even though it seems like all Jack and Grace's other friends are just kind of like, well, you guys are just perfect and you guys are so in love. You have the most beautiful house. You have the most beautiful clothes. You have the most beautiful parties. It's like, you guys never argue, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like all of Jack's friends buy into that. But Esther doesn't seem to. So, because she's kind of one of the only smart people in this book, I have to say. Because she immediately is just kind of like, yeah, something doesn't smell right around here. So she kind of starts not being, you know, she's not being a dick or anything like that, but she is kind of asking some questions like, oh, Grace, you know, you seemed like such a, you're so accomplished at your job. It's like, doesn't it bother you to be home all day? You know, she's just kind of like trying to draw her out and like make friends with her a little bit. And so Grace is having to like navigate through this minefield of like, shit, man, like, how can I answer without getting punished for it later on? So there's all that kind of shit going on. And then, as I said, you know, when you get that, like the dinner party scene, which is the first scene, which is actually really good because you get a lot of insight into the way that their dynamic is perceived by everyone around them. And as I said, I think I don't find it entirely believable that, I don't know, is it, maybe that's not the case, but I did feel like some of the people should have known that something was weird. I don't know. But so the thing about Jack is he's 40 years old, as I said, very successful and everything. And no one thought it was that weird, I guess, like that he hadn't been married previously or, you know, even seemed to have any kind of serious relationships or anything like that, because he's always just waiting for the right woman. And here she is, you know, and all this other stuff. But as the story goes on, we discover that, you know, much like these kind of psychopathic dudes in a lot of, you know, Lifetime movies or these types of thrillers, the guy has like a perfect facade. Everyone thinks he's wonderful, but he's actually like the most evil motherfucker on the planet. And like, he has just really, really fucked up. Yeah, he just has like no empathy, no nothing. He's just like a monster. So basically what ends up happening, and as I said, it goes back and forth from the past to the present, is that very shortly after, like, he was basically the perfect man up until they get married, and then they go on their honeymoon to Thailand. And basically on the first night of their honeymoon, he just lays it all out. He's like, look, I just married you because, one, I just want to torture you because I get off on women being afraid of me and controlling every aspect of their life. And also, he also has designs on Grace's sister, Millie, who has Down syndrome, because to him, it seems like she will be an even more perfect victim, because I guess the implication being, or at least he perceives it, that she won't understand as much what's happening to her because of her disability. Even though, as I said, Millie is in a lot of ways, like, way more on the ball than Grace is, because, I mean, Millie is kind of the one that actually, like, deceives people and goes, hey, I got all these sleeping pills for you at the school and I did all this stuff. So she's, like, doing all these, she figures out that, like, Jack is a shithead and that, I mean, and she's not even there. She's, like, at the school and she just, like, you know, intuits all of that. And, you know, so she actually kind of helps Grace get out of the situation. So as it goes on, as I said, this just the shit, I don't want to go too much into the details in case you want to read it, because I don't want to spoil the whole book, but it just kind of ramps up and ramps up. And Jack is almost like I said, he's almost, I want to say he's almost cartoonishly evil. I don't know if I want to say that, though, because I know that there are some people that are this fucking evil. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, it's not like this couldn't happen. It's just that, just like a lot of thrillers of this ilk, you do have to suspend your disbelief just a little bit, because not only is he just like completely warped and fucked up and has no feelings whatsoever, but he's also like a fucking mastermind about keeping her under control. I mean, he's essentially holding Millie's fate over her head all the time. Basically, like every time you try to escape, because Grace does actually try to escape at first. I mean, like any normal person would. But he's like, every time you do that, you know, we can't go see Millie for another week, which really bums her out because she loves her sister very much. And she very much looks forward to, you know, their weekly visits or whatever. It's like, so we're not going to do that. And it's like, then you have to go in this horrible basement room, which is a whole other plot point. He basically holds that over her, like threatening her sister's life to get her to behave the way he wants her to behave. Because as in the end, he doesn't really give a shit about Grace. He was just using Grace to get at Millie because he thinks that Millie will be the perfect victim for his fetish. I'm not gonna call it a fear fetish, I guess. He's really, really into, and that's why he keeps taking trips to Thailand, is because apparently, I don't know if this is true, if you guys are, any of you guys live in Thailand and can tell me, that he can go to Thailand and pay to torture women or have them be afraid of him or something like that. So that's kind of why he goes there so often. But he wants a victim that's more close to home. So as I said, he doesn't really give a crap about Grace at all. He doesn't even have sex with her. He just thinks it's gross. Not because he's gay or anything, but it's just, it doesn't have, if the fear isn't involved, it's really nothing to him. It's like a weird, I don't know. It's just like a weird psychosexual thing, but it's almost like not sexual. You know what I mean? It just seems like that's the only way he can get off is just by having people, it's just by torturing people and having them be terrified of him. You know what I mean? I don't even think it has anything to do with rape or nothing, because I don't think that he even does that to anybody in there. So yeah, so as it goes on, like I said, it just gets more and more depraved. She, you know, tries to escape. She tries to alert the authorities a few times. Of course, they don't believe her because, you know, he basically locks her in a room and starves her. She can't leave. He won't let her have any books. He won't let her have a TV. He won't let her. So she just kind of has to sit there and stare at the wall. There's fucking bars on the windows, and she has to wear exactly what he says, has to do exactly what he says. It's like she's not allowed to go outside, obviously. She's not allowed to, you know, go out with her friends unless he's with her. And, you know, if she messes up, like she gets punished, like later on. So she's kind of in a bind. And so I will say that Grace is a character. This is another woman that it's all from the first person. So it's all from her perspective. I got something of a sense of her as a character, but not really. I didn't get a real in-depth feel about her. And I will say that she's not unlikable, but there were some points where I was just like, God damn it, girl. It's like, why can't you do this? Or why can't you do that? Or, you know what I mean? It just seemed like, you know, I hate that to sound like judgy and everything like that, because I know some people are in these kind of like horribly abusive relationships, especially when it's this kind of like psychological fuckery going on. And I know that it can be very hard to leave because you kind of get inured to powerlessness and all this other kind of stuff. So I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on people like in real life that have that issue, because I know they do. But, you know, in the context of a thriller book, you're just kind of sitting there. I wanted her to have a little bit more fight in her, I guess. I mean, she did at the beginning, like she did actually try to escape. She did like hit him on the head with a wine bottle one time and all this other kind of stuff. But it seemed like a lot of her attempts to fight it were a little bit lame, that's all. I'm just, you know, just take that as you will. And as I said, it almost seemed like, so the whole thing about her and, you know, Millie coming to live with them, because of course Jack is like super excited and telling everybody, oh, we love Millie so much. And she has her own bedroom in the house and it's so awesome. We can't wait for her to come live with us. And of course he can't wait for her to come live with them because he's gonna fucking torture the shit out of her. But of course nobody knows that except for Grace. So there's kind of like a time period or like a time crunch, because Millie is gonna be leaving the school when she turns 18 and is gonna be moving in with them. And Grace is basically getting to the point where she's like, well, I have to kill this motherfucker before, Millie comes, because otherwise we're both fucked. But it seems like it takes, like, she dicks around for a while, and then it seems like it takes Millie, who at her residential school fakes insomnia, so they'll give her some sleeping pills, and then she pretends to take them, and then she hoards them, like she stocks them up, and then she sneaks them to Grace and be like, hey, kill that motherfucker, basically, like Millie says, because she's like, he's a bad man. Like, he pushed her down the stairs at the wedding, and, like, everyone just thought she fell and all this other kind of stuff. So she seemed like, Millie seemed like more of more kick-ass character than Grace did, because Millie was just like, man, you got to take care of this shit, like, right now, and I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to, you know, give her a kick in the ass, because she definitely needed it. So it goes on like that. It won't come as a shock to anybody to find out that Grace actually finally does succeed in killing the motherfucker. I will say, I like the way that he got killed. What they did, it's really weird because, as I said, it goes back and forth, past, present, right? So what ends up happening is that you find out that he's dead, because she has this big elaborate plan, but you don't know what the big elaborate plan was yet, because, like, in the present, she's talking about, you know, she flew to Thailand, and she's talking about, like, all the shit that she did. Like, she flew there by herself, so you knew that he had to be dead, because you're like, well, there's no way that they would let her, that he would let her go any place by herself, because that's kind of his whole thing. So she goes there by herself, and then she keeps calling his cell phone and leaving all these worried messages. You know, when are you coming home? When are you coming over? I thought you were coming after 4 days and blah, blah, blah. So you know that she's establishing an alibi, right? But you don't know exactly what happened until the next chapter when you do a past, and then it says, like, how she killed the guy. Now, I will say, I like, it was kind of satisfying that he ends up getting killed in a way that, oh, and also animal cruelty alert, because something bad happens to a puppy in this. So, and the thing is, it's like the puppy is introduced, like, real early in the thing. I'm like, that puppy isn't long for this world, I hate to say. And I was correct. That always happens in these thrillers, man. Every time they mention, like, a puppy or a little kitty or something like that, and it's like a big, oh, my lovely puppy, I'm like, oh no, something bad's gonna happen to that little critter. And indeed it does. But so I did like that they kind of called back to the horrible thing that happened to the puppy in Jack's death. I thought that was cool. But on the other hand, it did kind of seem like a lot of what happened to him happened, like, off screen, if you know what I mean. So, you know, they don't really show it. Like, they show what she did to kind of put the whole plan into motion, and then she, like, takes the fuck off. But they didn't show him suffering. And I guess I was missing that a little bit, because this dude is so fucking evil that it's like, you just wanted him to be fucking torn apart by animals or something. And you wanted to see it, like, all there in, like, visceral. Just because he was such a shit, you know, you wanted to see him, like, you know, you wanted to see her, like, peel all his skin off, like, or something, like, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm just a savage, I don't know. But it just seemed like, as shitty as he was, I really wish that, yes, the way he died was, like, poetic justice. Yes, it was more realistic. Her being, you know, she was half starved. She was kind of crazy from being controlled by this motherfucker for a year, however long it was. So she wasn't exactly fucking superwoman or anything. So she did what she could do, and she managed to pull it off. But that said, I do kind of wish that it had been, like, a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more visceral, like, shown more, like, more bad shit happened to him. You know what I mean? Because he sucked so much. But yeah, this is a solid 3.5-4-star read, I think. A lot of people, like I said, I saw some reviews, people that really didn't love it, and they said, oh, it's not all that original and stuff, which it's not. It's just a very standard, like, psychological marriage horror thriller type of thing. Not real twisty, there's not any shocks or anything like that. It's very straightforward. It just goes along. Yes, you find out Jack is a psychopath almost immediately. Here's all the ways that he's a psychopath. Here's all the methods that she was using to try and escape. Here's all the methods that he was using to keep her from escaping. So it was all that kind of shit going on. And then, you know, her coming to the revelation, I have to kill this motherfucker, and then her killing the motherfucker, the end. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, as I said, I don't mean to sound disparaging about it at all when I say it's kind of like Lifetime movie-esque or something like that. But if it's just, if you want something that's, like, I hate to say a light read, but that's kind of disturbing, like, in a thriller fashion, but not so gory, because there's really not any gore in this, I don't think. I can't even remember anything really gory or bloody or anything happening. I didn't find it, like some people have said it was disturbing. I'd said maybe psychologically disturbing, but I didn't find it all that disturbing. Like I've read way worse. So it just seems like a real quick, entertaining read that you can just knock out in a couple days. It's kind of breezy. It's like it's very simple. It's not real complicated. The prose is very, straightforward. And so if you're just looking for something in the thriller vein that is just going to be a fun read and also kind of fucked up, then definitely check it out. Now, as I said, I believe they might be making a movie out of this. I feel like they probably will because it was a massive bestseller in the UK, actually all over the world. I think it was a big bestseller in New York Times, USA Today, all that stuff. Again, this was her first novel, and I think a lot of people compared it to Gone Girl, Girl on the Train, which I haven't read either one of those, but from everything that I've seen of some other reviewers that I trust and stuff, are like, yeah, it's really nothing like that because those are a lot twistier than this one, and this one was really not. But it was still fun. If that sounds like your cup of tea, then by all means, check it out. And I might be reading some of her other books because, as I said, she's written three more in the future, but we'll see how that goes. And that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.